Thank you, kiddos, for helping lead us in that Christmas carol. Merry Christmas, everyone, and welcome to our Christmas Eve celebration here at Harvest Community Church. If we have never met, my name is Jesse. I get to serve as one of the pastors here with Hans, and I'm glad to be in the room with you. I'm glad you're in the room with us. There's some familiar faces, some haven't seen you in a while faces. I'm looking at you, Clan, right here in the middle. Good to see y'all here with us. And some brand new faces, and for all of you, Merry Christmas. We're really glad you are here. If you want to get your Bible out, we're going to spend a few minutes in Matthew chapter 4 and talking about it. And what we're going to talk about tonight is what it is we celebrate tonight and tomorrow and in this season. And that's the truth, the beautiful truth, the miracle truth, the long-promised truth, is that Jesus came to be the light of the world. Of course, we're celebrating his birth, the advent, the coming of the King of Kings, true God of true gods, the Son of God, co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit, stepped out of heaven to be born of a virgin, live a sinless life, die a sinner's death for us that we may be with him for eternity. We celebrate that. We rejoice because the world was in darkness and it needed a light. And the light came, and we call that light Jesus. He said in John 8, I am the light of the world. So that's what we get to celebrate tonight, and we're really glad to be with you. I'll start with this. Now, if you're an adult in the room, you can probably relate to this story. And if you're a teenager in the room, there's a good chance you can as well, although times are different than they used to be. When I was 10 years old, living on the north side of Houston, for the first time, my parents let me stay home alone for an evening. And this is a big deal in the life of a young person, the first time you're trusted to stay at home. And so I had two older sisters. One of them, Angie, was already an adult, living her adult life in Colorado. The next sister, the middle child, Stacy, was still like 7 years older than me. So she was a high schooler. It was a Friday night. She had her own plans. And my parents were leaving for the evening. They were going out dancing, a favorite Hicks pastime. And just to date myself and them, if you've been in Houston long enough, it was Dancetown, USA they went to. So a few of you in the room were probably there, maybe even on that night with my parents. And so it was announced like on Tuesday that week, hey, Friday night, everyone's going to be gone. You have the house by yourself. Now, for a 10-year-old, this is a pretty exciting thing. I didn't even know to be nervous about it. I was like, yes, my dad gave me all the rules. I was like, yes, sir, off all of those rules. And I thought, got it. I'm going to watch what I want. I have the remote. I'm the man of the house. Got it. Go have fun. I can't wait. It's very exciting. Until my dad's green Ford pickup truck backed out of that driveway and then pulled down the street. And I realized, uh-oh, I'm alone. Like, that was the plan, but I'd never felt that before. I'd never been alone in my life. And so all of a sudden, I'm hearing every sound that house makes. I'm hearing every sound outside of the walls. I'm looking out. What's going on out there? And I realized in that moment, I'm in the dark. I'm in the dark. And the dark is scary. It feels oppressive. And so I worked up my courage, and room by room, like sneaking around the walls, I flipped every light on in every single room in that house, even the bathroom. Like, there was, every room was lit up. And then I retreated back to the den, got in my corner, kept the TV off because I wanted to hear if there were bad guys outside, right? But I realized I was in the dark, and so I wanted light. What does light do, right? It takes the power of darkness away when it comes on. And we're here to celebrate the light of the world, right? A few years later, I'm 15 years old, and I'm in a different kind of darkness. I didn't know the Lord. I was not a church goer. And in all the things that were supposed to bring a 15-year-old boy in the mid-90s happiness, I had them. So I was running after them, but of course, those things apart from the Lord, all they did was just continue to steal joy, steal hope, drain happiness and light. And I was caught in darkness. Now, in the house at 10, I had the power to flip on a light switch. But as a human, apart from the Lord, I had no power to turn on the light of my soul. And I realized I'm in darkness. But thanks be to God, there was another young man in the baseball locker room with me who did walk in the light. and I recognized something in him. And through him, the Lord showed me the light. I heard the gospel, the fact that someone came, God came, the one who made me and loved me came, died a death in my place. And if I would choose to trust in him, I would no longer be in darkness. That darkness would lose its power because he would turn on that light in my soul. And I needed it. And it came for me. And he saved me. This is what Jesus came to do. When we come together for Christmas, even this tradition of Christmas lights on houses and trees, this started in the 17th century in Germany, where they recognized, they wanted to remind themselves that Jesus was the light of the world. So they lit candles, real life fire candles, and put them on the trees in their house. Do not recommend. Don't try this at home. But it was to remind themselves to continue to celebrate the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. There was darkness, and the world needed light, and the light came. Jesus, the birth of our Savior that we celebrate, very literally the light of the world. So as we spend a few more minutes together, let's focus on that truth. That he was born to bring light. He was born to illuminate this world, illuminate hearts. And so we're going to read Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. And we're going to see a couple of things as we read it, and then for just for a few minutes, talk about it. We're going to see why and how the light came. And we're going to try to answer the question then, how do I respond to that light? So if you have your Bible, Matthew chapter 4. Listen, if you don't own a Bible, we'd love for you to own a Bible. When you came into this room behind that sound booth wall, there was a table with a nativity set on it. There's some black Bibles on that table. If you don't own a Bible, consider that our gift to you. We'd love you to own a Bible. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 12. Now, when he, that's talking about Jesus, when he heard that John, that's talking about John the Baptist, had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. So what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region in shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Would you pause and bow your head with me and let's pray and ask God to help us hear and understand his word. Lord, thank you so much for what we get to celebrate and rejoice in today. Thank you for every family represented in this room. Our prayer, Lord, is that your light will shine on every home. So thank you for a few moments to pause on Christmas Eve to sing to you with people who love you and to hear your word. Lord, please let our hearts be fertile soil for the seed of your word to be planted and produce fruit. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. What's happening here in this passage is the Apostle Matthew has written and drawn a direct line from a 700-year-old prophecy in the book of Isaiah chapter 9. Now Isaiah, this incredibly long and beautiful poem through a prophet from God to the nation of Israel who had been disobedient, This long book of Isaiah in many places points to the Son, the Messiah, the child who would be born with the government on his shoulders to reign forever on the throne of David. It just talks about it all over, that he would be a suffering servant who would come to die. In Isaiah chapter 9, it references and specifically mentions the fact that he would come as a light. And it mentions two cities, Zebulun and Naphtali. What had happened is the people in that region had disobeyed their God. Our God, and so he sent, as he said he would in the law, he sent an invading army to get their attention, and he was calling them to repentance, and he was saying, you will not remain in darkness forever. They were in darkness under the rule of the oppressing Assyrian army and spiritually far from God. He said, but you will not remain in darkness forever. I'm still keeping my promises. That light I've been talking about for so long, I'm going to send him. And so that's, Matthew draws a straight line in the person and to the person of Jesus. So here's what we're going to see tonight. First, when we think about what's going on in this passage and we think about where the world was, we want to remember this, that the light was needed. Jesus was the light of the world, and we say this, the light was needed. I want to read verse 12 for us one more time, and we'll catch something in it. It says this, Now, when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. Now, there's a word there, now, so it points to what comes just before. And the story that's happening in Matthew 4 right before this is the story of Jesus being led into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan for 40 days and 40 nights. Why do we say the light is needed? Because that spiritual oppressor, our spiritual enemy, Satan, who tempted Jesus in the desert, Jesus having to go through that to be able to be obedient to the Father, he roams. We have a real spiritual oppressor in this world who has a certain measure of authority, who wants to keep people in darkness. And every person born is born in darkness because of this spiritual enemy, because of the sin that came through the first temptation. The world is in darkness. So Jesus has just been in the wilderness fighting this spiritual battle on our behalf. And we recognize that the light was needed because that's still true today. There is still that spiritual oppressor bringing darkness in this world. And the second thing is, it mentions that John was arrested, John the Baptist arrested, soon after his arrest to be beheaded and murdered. The world was in darkness. Why was John arrested and beheaded? Because of his message. What was his message? His message was simple: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Turn away from your sin and turn to the Lord, because he's bringing light. For that loving and needed message, and his whole ministry was to prepare hearts for the Messiah to show up on the scene. For that message, he was arrested and killed. The world loves the darkness. And so not only was the world in darkness, but the world loves darkness. But to that dark world, the light came. When Jesus was born, he was born as the light of the world. It's what we celebrate. And in this incredible truth, is true for every single human who wants to look upon him. He is the light of the world. So the light was needed. Well, also the light was promised. Once again, Matthew draws a straight line to Isaiah chapter 9, this promise from 700 years before the birth of Jesus. But that was just another promise in a long line of promises that God made to his people. And it goes all the way back to the garden, Genesis chapter 3, right after the first sin, where God, walking amongst Adam and Eve, says, I am going to send a son who will crush the head of the serpent and ruin that plan he's trying to enact. All the way back to the garden, and then for hundreds and hundreds of years through the word, through the prophets, there was the promised one who would come, the son who would come, the light that would come. And so the light was needed because the world was in darkness. And God said, I'm sending the light. God promised not to leave us alone, and so he came. The light was needed, and the light was promised. Third, the light came. Like every promise, God kept it. The light was needed deeply and badly by every human. So God promised that it would come, and then it did. The light came. Verse 13 and 14 say it like this: Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. He kept it exactly, because God always does. Whatever he says, he will do. The light was needed. God promised it, and it came. Promise fulfilled. But the good news for you and for me is the light was not just for the people living in those cities. He was the light of the world. In John 8, chapter 12, the first part of that verse, Jesus' own words, he makes this declaration. He says, I am the light of the world. Many of you in this room can point back to that time when you recognized, I'm in the dark. I'm in the darkness. And you recognized that you didn't have the power to turn on your own soul light. You were in need of light. You discovered the promise. You discovered that the light came, and he came for you. The light was needed, it was promised, and it came. And then finally, the light was offered. And the light is offered to any who would turn to it. In verse 17, it says this, From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The light was needed. The world desperately needed it. God promised not to leave us alone. The light came, and then he offered himself. And the invitation from him then and now is repent. I said earlier in John 8:12, he said, "I am the light of the world." Here's how that verse is finished. Still the words of Jesus. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." What is repentance when we use a word like that? The word is very simply defined. It means a change of mind. And so repentance happens when someone recognizes, I'm broken. I'm in the darkness, and I need the light. There's sin in my life. I'm separate from God, and I need him to turn this light on. And you may not even have used those words before, but this is what is happening. Repentance is recognizing your need, and maybe you've spent your life knowing that there's a God and trying to earn your way to him. So repentance is not only recognizing your need, but it's recognizing, I can't do this. I can't do this. So repentance is turning from that. It's turning from the things that kept you from God, and it's turning from self-sufficiency, that pride of our heart that says, I need to earn it. It's turning from that, and it's turning to the light that came. It's turning to the mercy and grace that's available because of the one who was born to die. The one who was born on Christmas, who would get to what we celebrate on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, that he died for our sin and rose again, taking the darkness and sin and death with him to the grave and defeating all of it. The light was needed desperately. It was promised, it came, and it's offered. And Jesus says, repent and follow me. So we've seen why the light came. We see how the light came in the person of the Son of God. And so we have to ask then, how do I respond to this light? And so let's just use Jesus' words. He said, follow me. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so, there's two kinds of people in this room. There's those who are here and are glad to be here, but for whatever reason, to this point in your life, you've sort of had a stiff arm on the Lord. Tonight's a night when you can relax that arm and turn. It's repent. Turn from your self-sufficiency and ways that kept you from God and turn to him. His arms who are open to you, offering the light, and follow him. In your own chair or at bedtime tonight, you can have a conversation with God and say, Lord, that's me. I need you. I drop it. Show me your mercy. Save me, a sinner. Give me the light, Lord. Take me out of darkness and into the kingdom of light. The other kind of person in this room is one who's recognized that already and trusted in him. Praise the Lord, you're his. And so what we get to do on a night like tonight, on a morning like tomorrow, as we celebrate Christmas and have the joy of our family around us, we get to remember about the light. We can abide in it, live in it daily. And so tonight, maybe if you've drifted from walking with him, tonight to go, okay, Lord, grab me back. Help me put my eyes on you and abide in the light. And then here's what we get to do. This is the great joy of being in the light. The great joy of being in the light is that we get to reflect that light to other people. We get to reflect hope and joy and peace and purpose and light to everyone around us. Our families on holidays, New Year's coming up. And then we're looking forward to a new year, not knowing everything it's going to bring. But I know this, as long as there's breath in your lungs and you're his, he's going to put you around people. And so how do I respond to this light? Well, maybe tonight you need to follow him. Drop everything else and say, okay, Lord, I'm yours, I'm in. But if you are his, it's that reminder the glorious, good, joyful reminder that because we're His, we get to abide in Him and we get to reflect Him to others. It's worth it. He's worth it because He is the light of the world. Everyone who follows Him will no longer be in darkness, but will have the light of life. God bless you guys. Would you pray with me?